This week's episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast is presented by Greenspun Media Group. Thanks for joining me. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer and columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday to give you an update on all the entertainment news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, plus an exclusive conversation with someone you know or need to know in Vegas showbiz. There's been quite a bit of Vegas entertainment news coming out this first week of March as the industry pushes forward through what we hope are the waning weeks of the pandemic. Let's get to the big stuff first. This is off the strip, but it's one of the biggest annual events in the city, and there's been a lot of talk whether or not it would happen this year. The Life is Beautiful Festival in downtown Las Vegas is putting early bird tickets on sale this Thursday, March 4th. It is holding on to its dates of September 17th to 19th and is set to once again take place over 18 city blocks in the downtown area, incorporating different venues and setting up outdoor stages around Fremont Street. This year's music lineup is expected to be revealed in the coming weeks and months. Early bird three-day general admission is $295. You can find more info at lifeisbeautiful.com. It's probably worth mentioning real quick that Las Vegas' other big music festival, the Electric Daisy Carnival, EDC, at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, is also currently maintaining its planned dates. And that one's coming up real quick on May 21st to 23rd. And if you didn't know, the Speedway will have 15% audience capacity this weekend when NASCAR's Pennzoil 400 event returns to Las Vegas. That's about 12,500 people each day. Of course, the Vegas Golden Knights had fans in seats for the first time in a year at T-Mobile Arena on Monday night. About 2,600 people watched the Knights come from behind to beat Minnesota in overtime, and we had lots of coverage of that momentous occasion at LasVegasSun.com. Back to non-sports entertainment, Magic Mike Live has postponed its debut date at its new home at the Sahara. It was supposed to open March 26th. It's pushing back to August 27th, and that makes a lot of sense because the show is moving to the Sahara from the former Hard Rock Hotel, and it still hasn't been able to make a big splash in its new custom theater. I'm sure the producers, the cast, and the crew just want to open with the biggest possible audience and the most excitement. Something that is happening in March this weekend, in fact, is a plethora of Vegas day clubs. So this is the same situation as last summer. The wild, packed pool parties, they're not back yet. But these really awesome venues are reopening for the season. They're still 21 and over. There's no general admission. You got to make a reservation. And there's still great music and drinks and food. Among the ones reopening this weekend are Encore Beach Club at Wynn, Wet Republic at MGM Grand, and Daylight at Mandalay Bay. You can find a full rundown of the Strip's current day club and nightclub offerings written by yours truly in this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly magazine. You can read it online at lasvegasweekly.com. So you already know I really enjoy bringing you these interviews for the Sun on the Strip every week, and I love talking about music and performance and Vegas and really getting into the heads of these entertainers. This week is a super behind-the-scenes chat with one of my favorite performers, and you're going to really find out what makes him tick. Eric Jordan Young has been a part of countless Vegas shows, starting in the 1990s with Starlight Express at the Las Vegas Hilton. I don't know if you remember that one, but it was one of the first Broadway shows to come to Vegas. Might be the first. He's also been seen in Rock of Ages, Vegas the Show, The Cocktail Cabaret, and more. And that's just here in Las Vegas. He's also been on Broadway, in Chicago, and Ragtime the Musical. The guy does it all. Singing, dancing, writing, producing. An amazing talent. He has two shows coming up in the next couple of weeks in Vegas at the Italian American Club and at The Space. Definitely check those out if you can. I love talking with this guy. I hope you enjoy this one. Eric Jordan Young, you were one of my first guests on my first podcast for Las Vegas Weekly. So cool to get a chance to speak with you again.
You as well. I know that was a while ago, but
it was.
You know, it's kind of crazy how much time has gone by.
I feel like an old podcasting veteran at this point, but I also still haven't figured out how to do it right. So hopefully this goes well.
Has anybody figured out how to do it right?
A lot of Vegas entertainment is opening back up again as we get into March, which is great. And you have two shows
coming up to talk about. The first is the return of the Cocktail Cabaret, or some version of it, at the Italian American Club on March 7th. How close will this be to the Cocktail Cabaret that we've seen at Caesars and at other places?
This version is pretty much like it's the same show with a couple extra songs in it. I think each performer has an extra song. And then there are two extra moments that are, duets or even a trio. But you're getting the same show. It's actually Cocktail Cabaret proper, but it's just on a proscenium stage as opposed to, Cleopatra's Barge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's one of the great advantages of that show is that it is built for a smaller room, it can work in a lot of different places, and you guys have taken it to a lot of different places, so it seems like it'll be a cool fit at that place.
Yeah, it's nice. Last year we did a mini Florida tour, and we also did a couple nights, or was it two nights? I think two performances maybe at Notoriety downtown. Mm-hmm. And I think we were one of the first, kind of shows to kind of go in there with its new owner and everything. And it seems like it's going well, but here we are a year later, and we're going to jump right back into it. So hope I remember my lines.
I was going to say, that show seemed like it was a lot of fun for the performers when I saw it way back now, I guess, at Caesars. Is that still a pretty fun set of material for you to cruise through?
I love it, actually. I mean, it is a little bit stressful kind of like trying to reenact what you did before. So I try to abandon that and just do something, just go with the material in terms of how I feel now today. And I'm looking forward to what it's going to be, what's going to come out of me. I'm a different person now. We all are different people. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But when we were at Caesar's Palace, I had a blast doing that show. I loved it so much. I love the interaction with the people. I love the music, and it flies by. It's just a really fun evening. So, I couldn't say more about it. And Keith Thompson and Philip Fortenberry and, the rest of the gang there, Maren Wade and Nikki Scalera. So it's just great.
Not even a week after that, you're going to be teaming up with Philip Fortenberry again for In This Moment, I believe it's called, at the Space. Yeah. On March 13th. What is this show going to be? What can we expect from this one?
Well, I chose to name it In This Moment because I didn't know what the moment would be, honestly. March 13th is 1 year to the day that I was laid off. I was working for Norwegian Cruise Line, directing their production of Footloose, which is on one of their ships. This was our third company, I believe, and that day, we were just shut down and sent home from Tampa, Florida, to our, hometowns. And I flew back here on the 15th, but that was a pretty jarring day. And so I wanted to do something that would encompass all of the different shows that I did over the year. I did two virtuals that showcased new and different material. And then I did two other performances as well, that showcased new material with Philip Fortenberry as well. So this is just going to be a combination of those moments, of those of the things that I enjoyed that I did over the year, the virtuals and the in person, and then a couple of new tunes. And I'm probably just going to talk about how I feel, how we all feel, and where we're going. Everything changes. Day to day, and with Vegas getting ready to open up again in some way, shape, or form, I will probably feel different in the next couple of weeks than I do right now. So we'll see what happens in this moment.
These two places that we've mentioned are two of the rooms in Las Vegas that have really kept entertainment going during this long, long year. Another one is the Vegas Room. You played some shows there in 2020 as well. What can you say about your overall experience as a performer playing in these smaller places with these smaller audiences over this time? But just like you were saying before, just continuing to be a performer in these times.
Well, I mean, doing the virtuals in the beginning that was a very odd experience because, you know, we kind of play off of the energy of other, you know, of the audience, and the response is something that, you know, fortifies my experience and kind of makes me want to have a connection with the people out there. So it was very different to not have anyone, to just be singing in a living room next to a piano with Philip and Keith, and then finish a song and be like, oh, okay, well, I hope you liked it. But in terms of just the smaller venues themselves, I love it. That was one of the things that I loved about living in New York, is that you could kind of go to any kind of jazz space or Birdland or, you know, just 54 Below, any kind of those spaces that are intimate. I think the material that I do lends itself to that type of intimacy. I love being a storyteller, especially when I'm singing, dancing, or acting, and the smaller spaces give me the opportunity to connect with the audience and be able to feel and see them up close and personal.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think those rooms, those Vegas rooms that we're talking about, have been absolutely crucial. I'm really curious to see with virtual shows, if that's something that different entertainers continue to do, even once they can kind of get back to what they used to do, because, you know, some people, I spoke with a stand-up comedian not too long ago who was basically saying that doing a stand-up Zoom set is like the worst possible thing he could do as a performer. And he was doing it because he had to, but just hated the experience, you know. And I know it varies depending on what the presentation is, what the content is, but do you think there's more to do for you in that realm?
Absolutely. I don't think it's going to go away. I'm actually surprised that it only came in because of the pandemic. You would think that it would have been happening before. And I think it was in many different ways. It's just that it was something that people just didn't connect with, because it's kind of going out of your way to log in and check somebody out online. But I think that type of entertainment is only going to expand, and there will be opportunities to perform live in person as well as virtual, like I'm doing on the 13th. And I think that's probably the way it's going to be. I like it. I don't mind it at all. I have a different level of relaxation when I'm performing virtually. It's the scary part for me is that I get a little bit too comfortable and I have to be a little bit careful in terms of, you know, editing what it is that, you know, I do and say, but that's also thrilling and amazing. I mean, who doesn't want to have an experience with an artist when they're truly being themselves, you know, and are able to kind of let go and just have a good time. And so I actually enjoyed it, and I hope that I get to continue it.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of, I mean, live entertainment in general, but specifically in the kinds of shows in Vegas, maybe that you've been involved with most recently, is that there is a feeling of, this is live right now. We don't know what's going to happen. We know you're going to get up there and sing us some songs, but we don't know what you're going to say. And we don't know if it's going to get a little bit naughty or a little bit heartfelt, or you just never know what's going to happen on stage at any time. And it's hard to translate that to one of these Zoom calls, for example. But if you have found a way to do it, then it definitely sounds like it's worth continuing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the different people who do these things, like Stars in the House and Jim Caruso has Jim Caruso's pajama cast party, things like that. The host, so to speak, they're shifting into really knowing how to engage with people on you know, virtually, and it's changing the format of how entertainers do their thing and how hosts kind of get them to get how a host can pull a performance out of specific artists. I think that's a cool thing. And I've enjoyed it. It's actually something that I think we as viewers and as an audience, we've learned how to now receive the virtual performance. Because, you know, if that Super Bowl performance by The Weeknd had been a year earlier, I'm not quite sure that people would have received it in the way that it was received. We now know how to watch, and I'm not talking about like if you liked it or if you didn't like it. I just mean in terms of how we're able to connect with a virtual experience and still get a performance from it. We have learned how to watch and receive performances, and it's really cool.
That's an interesting example. I was just reading something where, because that weekend Super Bowl performance, it seemed like it was kind of polarizing, right? People, some people loved it. I loved it. And some people didn't like it at all and thought it was very boring. And basically the premise of the article was, if you didn't like it or if you didn't get it, you're kind of, you might be stuck in pre-pandemic mentality in terms of what your expectations are. And you haven't really kind of made the shift. Maybe you weren't open to something different, which is,
I think there is something to that. I really do. I mean, I don't know if it was the American Music Awards that was presented months ago in the fall, but there was a time period like August, September, October, where there were some virtuals that started to shift with a different type of the production value was very high. And that was the moment where we all went, oh, okay, now we know what to expect. Now we know what to look for. Now we can tell the difference between A, B, and C level production in virtual performances. And regardless of what you thought of The Weeknd's performance for the Super Bowl, it was an A level production, and the value of it was stellar and amazing. And I thought he did a great job. But I think you are right. There are people who, not only a generation gap in terms of how people have become as famous as they have, and nobody knows who they are, including, you know, Gail on CBS This Morning, but it's very fun to see that within 1 year's time, in 1 year's time, we have learned how to receive entertainment differently virtually.
You've done a lot of different things in different shows in Vegas over the years. Where do you see the future taking you, you know, once things are open again and once we are running at full speed the way that we're supposed to here with Vegas Entertainment? Are you looking to do more kind of behind the scenes work as a producer or director, or do you want to focus on getting back on stage? Or,
well, that's what this whole pandemic has been about for me. And I'm still in that I don't want to call it a quandary, but I'm still in that swimming in the pool of, what does Eric Jordan Young want to be? What do I want to do? What is important to me? What do I find satiate my palate, so to speak? I don't think I could ever stop performing. That's one thing. There's a satisfaction that I get when I'm able to share my voice and share my body as a dancer and as an actor that is, you know, kind of like a wonderful high, so to speak. But I also find that in being a director and a choreographer as well. I don't have my knees aren't the way they were before. I mean, let's remind folks that I did Starlight Express back in 1994, 5, and 6. And I just don't, I love being behind the table. I love directing, and I love seeing things that I've created come to be. This past November, I was devastated because I staged and directed and put on its feet a full company for This Is Christmas that was going to be presented at the Venetian. And we had limited time to do the production. I choreographed it, figured out what we're doing. We went through our tech process. We were about ready to do some run-throughs, and the governor shut us down. It had to happen. But it was so sad to have to walk away from a bunch of really good work that was about to be presented to the community. When that happened, I realized how much directing and, you know, building projects, how much that means to me. And I'm just hoping that the future, you know, brings a lot of that. So I do, I want to continue to build shows and do projects and collaborate with people on that level.
Like, let's do that Christmas show in the summer sometime. Is there rules against that? Let's just do it. Who cares?
I don't think there are. Hey, let's do it. You can be in it.
All right. Sign me up.
All right.
I better start rehearsing now. Send me over whatever I need.
Okay, let's get you right into the Vegas weekend with my entertainment picks this week. Carrot Top reopened his comedy show at the Luxor Theater a couple of weeks ago. Strip institution for sure. Hopefully we're going to be talking with him on this show very soon. He's on stage at 8 p.m. every night except Sunday. If you're looking for more stand-up comedy, head over to the Strat and the LA Comedy Club, which has three different shows every night, including some of the country's best touring comics, nightly at 8 p.m. This weekend, you've got Jay Reed, Brandon Hahn, and Mike Crazer. And then let's mix it up with a whole different kind of comedy show. I'm talking about Tape Face at Harrah's. There's nothing else like it on the Strip. And even when all the shows come back, there will still be nothing like Tape Face. It's a must-see at 7:30 p.m. nightly, except Mondays, at the Harrah's Showroom. That's all I got this week. Thank you for listening. Special thanks to Eric Jordan Young. Find info about his upcoming shows in Las Vegas at iacvegas.com. That's the Italian American Club on East Sahara Avenue. And at thespacelv.com. That's the space just off the Strip at Polaris and Harmon. You can find more episodes of this Sun on the Strip podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again. See you next week. Take care.